All right. Thank you. I finally got a guy my size, you know, and it's great. Yes, as I just flew in last night. Actually, this morning, my daughter and I and team, they're still in San Quentin finishing up a service. Last night, I was ministering. So if I call you guys convicts or something, don't get offended. I just had about 300 guys out there, and so I was sharing the word last night, and so my daughter and I flew home late last night, got in this morning, because I wanted to make sure I was here to share with you this morning. So Prism Ministry is a great passion of mine. I sent them a bio, but I didn't expect them to read the entire bio. It was just to take excerpts out of it to what you want to use. As you said, I was been there at Calvary Chapel Downey for 30 years. Part of those 30 years, I worked as an administrator for the LA County Sheriff's Department over religious and volunteer services. And so I've seen a wide range of services in the department. And so prior to me leaving the department, those last 10 years, I left the department in 2001, went back full-time staff at Calvary Downey, overseeing their missions department, chapel store, cafe, all kinds of different functions in the ministry there. And so I was a mission pastor. And so I served in the mission capacity for 10 years and serviced 13 families on the field. And so now this new adventure that I'm doing is Prison Ministry of America. And you'll see a display out there. You can get more information about jails and prisons, something that's very passionate to me. prior to that, I came to know the Lord doing time in prison. It wasn't something that I asked the Lord, hey, send me to prison for I can have the experience. But something went wrong in my life. I used to, as Noah said, I used to wrestle. And when I lost my career, I was mad at everybody and everything and blamed the sports industry. And I ended up going to prison. And from there, I ended up getting saved. And so me working in the sheriff's department is very unique. And to be paid by the sheriff's department is unique. And and then and to work alongside those that locked me up was unique and stuff. So at the time, actually, Sherman Block was my sheriff. And then I met Lee Baca, who's formerly our sheriff at Norwalk, where I was assigned to my first assignment. And so I introduced myself to, at that time, Captain Baca. And so I went and I met the fellow officers, and long behold, it was a room half the size with about 80 fully dressed uniform deputies. More deputies than I ever seen at a Winchell Donut shop, you know, and I was just says, okay. And then I thought when I went down inside, I thought, was this a setup? You know, they're all here and no one knows I'm in the basement. And but long behold, there was my arresting officer, my bailiff, my detective. And I said, this is not a good idea. And so anyways, long behold, Baca shared with them my life a little bit and that they will respect me as their chaplain. And so then I was working with this chaplain. He, Baca became our sheriff. I became the administrator of the department. And there were a lot of neat things that happened and took place. But that's a little bit who's speaking at you this morning. So don't get offended. I, as well, one of my job duties, responsibility in the department was to manage and oversee various programs and functions that happen within the department itself. And one of those things were program placement centers. And so one of those assessments, I seen that the home, and I wanted to do something. I asked Sheriff Block at that time if I could do a pilot program, and I did. And to this day, it's been 20 years. We have the House of Jeremiah. It's a program for those in recovery to rehabilitate them through the regeneration of God's word. And so they're here this morning. So if you guys stand, they're in the back. So thank you, guys. All right. They'll be leaving, actually, if they were here first service. You guys lock the doors, make sure no one leaves. No. Thanks, guys. And then we have a woman's home called the House of Esther. And I named the House of Jeremiah, mainly for this reason, after the weeping prophet. men that would cry out to the Lord. I wanted men that would be serious, men that would really seek the Lord and cry out to the Lord. It's something about men just being on their knees and praying out to God. And so that's why I named it the House of Jeremiah. In the House of Esther, I named it out of Esther 4, talking about mainly for such a time of this. A moment in our lives that takes away just to be able to concentrate doing what needs to be done, and that is to get our heart right before God. So that's a little bit about the homes and the programs. You can gather any information you have outside. There's a display booth that talks a little bit about both programs. This morning, I do want to talk about the example of our faith. And mainly using the illustration that Paul gives to Timothy, and he presents Timothy in four different aspects. So this morning I pray that your heart will be open, and as he presents Timothy, I want to look at what is our example in four different areas. And so those four areas that I'm going to look at and talk about those, one as a son, second as a soldier, thirdly as an athlete, fourth is as a farmer. And so he really defines this in Timothy's life. And no one better knew this and better illustrated this than Paul himself. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul wasn't always the Apostle Paul. Paul was known as Saul of Tarsus, a very wicked guy. Saul was out hungry for Christians. He hated Christians. He pursued Christians to capture them and lock them away, until he had a close encounter with the Lord on the road of Damascus. And the Lord knocked him off his high horse. And just like many of us, I'm sure we didn't wake up one morning and says, guess what? I want to be a Christian for the rest of my life. Some of us hated the idea of even being a Christian. I mean, I surely didn't want to be a Christian. And so somewhere down the line, God knocked us off our high horse and had a close encounter. And so during that time, Saul went off and God worked with him, discipled him, and he became one of the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. If you look at most of the New Testament that was written by Paul. Paul was a convict. That's why I believe God loves convicts. I mean, most of the New Testament was written right behind prison walls. You know, so trip on that, huh? You know, and so anyways, not saying you guys are convicts, you know, but the reality, it was written behind prison walls. And Paul lent up from his heart of what God was showing him, what God is taking him through, just really mentored Paul's life. And just like many of us, sometimes there are things that happens in our lives that teaches us some valuable lessons. And so he shares this with Timothy. And like I said, no one knew this better than Timothy. Let me just read something to you that I did not read first service. That Paul, being in the ministry, said this. Listen to this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, for Paul to say that, he was a ruthless guy. He was a blasphemer. He destroyed the church. But he was thankful to what God was doing in and through his life. Many of us, when finally God captivated our hearts and he captivated our lives, we're like, man, Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing. And it's awesome. But he had that close encounter. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. Like many of us, many of us did not grow up. All of us that are here this morning is a product of prayer. Someone had prayed for you. Someone took the time to pray for you, whether it was your son, your daughter, whether it was your mom, your pops, your aunt, uncle, whether you cut someone off the 91 freeway and you know, like, Lord, I just pray for that person. You know, that's what, you know, some of us, man, I'll tell you, one of my weaknesses is driving. You know, it's like, man, you get on there and, you know, people cut you off. I don't have no bumper stickers back in my car because I don't want to be a bad witness. You know, I just don't want to be a bad witness. So I don't put no bumper stickers. My wife always tried to put a bumper. Don't put it on. I don't want to be a bad witness. You know, but, you know, sometimes you cut people off and they're like, Lord, I just pray for that, you know, and who knows? You may be one of those that you've been prayed for. You cut so many people off, and now, long behold, here you are. You know, or remember those kids that we put in Sunday school, or little kids, get in there, you need church, and, you know, and there comes the bus picking them up every Sunday morning, and they're going to Sunday school. I just pray they go to church too, you know, and here we are, you know, but praise God. For whatever reason, we are here. And I believe that, pray that God opens our hearts, our minds to what he has. You know, and sometimes we feel, in this particular passage, you know, as I pointed out at four areas, we may think, well, I don't know, I don't feel qualified, I'm not adequate to be in ministry, I just want to come. You know what? God loves those that are inadequate. God loves those that feel they're not capable. Because God wants to use your life as an example. Maybe some of you have been coming for a great number of years and you never got involved. Well, this is an exhortation and a challenge for you to get involved. See, God loves when you don't know things because then he can teach you. You say, well, what about if I know things? Well, good, because God can teach you through his word. See, God loves to minister to all of us through his word. And so I pray that this morning you would be challenged in the exhortation that I share with you that may minister to our hearts and to our lives. So let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would speak to all of our hearts and all of our lives. Give us ears to hear, Father, as we get into your word, that it would challenge our hearts. It would challenge our lives. Lord, we pray for Pastor John and the rest of the team that's in Israel. Lord, what a great joy, a blessing. We pray that you would bless their time. Let it be fruitful. And as Pastor John returns to us, that he would share all the things that you've shared with them and the excitement, the joy. And as we look forward for their return, may you bless their time and bless our time here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look starting from verse 1. Now, this is an area that, to me, Paul, as he writes many of the epistles, you'll look at almost at the beginning of all his epistle, he writes it very clearly as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, or appointed by God. And he says, and many times he refers to it, not appointed by a group of men or a man, but by according to Jesus Christ. You know, there were some disciples that really had a problem with Paul. His boldness, you know. I love Paul. Paul's just one of those rough, rugged guys that just, he was one of those that shared the faith, man. To me, when I travel, I always like to travel in flip-flop shorts and a Christian t-shirt. That's the way I usually walk through the airports, because I feel like a billboard for Jesus Christ. The world, society can promote all that they want, but I think as Christians, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every opportunity that we have to share, whether in our faith, and to me, if I can wear a Christian t-shirt when I get on those planes and places I travel, I want to be a living billboard for Jesus Christ. I want to be able to advertise. It gets conversation going, you know. Hey, I like that shirt. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this shirt, you know. Or, hey, that's a great verse, ain't it? Let me tell you a little bit about this verse. Man, it's great. It's a great way of witnessing and sharing of our faith. And this is what Paul brings out to Timothy. We have all, I think, a responsibility of sharing our faith with families, with friends, but also a part of looking about ministry. So listen to this as he shares with Timothy. He says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The first thing that Paul brings out to Timothy, my son. I like how he addresses Timothy as my son. Now, Timothy wasn't a biological son to Paul, but he was a son in the faith. He took Timothy under his wing and nurtured him. And I always love when men take younger men. And I'm not talking about age-wise so much as I am those that are young in the faith. Bringing someone, nurturing. This is like the mature woman taking younger women under their ministry and discipling them and ministering to them. And he said, and so he took them. And there's two people that Paul really invested his life in. And that was Timothy and Titus. And the two areas that he left him in ministry were probably the two areas, the struggle areas that there were in ministry. And that was in Ephesus and Crete. And no one knew better that they were more probably prepared than anybody else is because he personally discipled these two young men. And so as he told Timothy, he says, Timothy, you are my son in the faith. He nurtured him. He took him. He discipled them and took him under his wing. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to, above anything else, that you hang on to what's there. Our lives may be challenged by situations and circumstances. But he says, Timothy, when you lack areas in your life and question the ability of what God, I want you to look back to see how far God's brought you. Sometimes, church, we have a tendency to forget the awesomeness of God. We have a tendency to forget how good God's been to us through over the years and how he's carried us through the storms. And every time we get a trial in our life, every time we face the circumstances, we're questioning, God, are you going to come through? God, are you there? God, where are you? And, you know, and we have to look back. We have his word. We have the past that God has carried us through the storms of our lives. And that he is going to keep us through. As he instructed Timothy, he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace. Don't lose sight. Keep your focus on the word and what he's doing. I was sharing with the men that my daughter was with me in San Quentin. I had her do worship. And I said, for a lot of years, I waited for her. I said, and I was telling the men, I said, you know, when she was a child, when I travel a lot and speak and I always made a point every night, no matter how late it was, I always walked into her room, and I remember, even from an infant, I would grab her little hand, and I was able to hold it with my index finger, my thumb, and hold her hand and just pray for her. And I remember, and as time got, you know, as she got older, I was able to turn my hand and grip her hand and hold her hand and to pray and to pray for her. And I've always made a point of prayer to all the, you know, ever since she was born. And I said, and waited, and now that she's 25, I said, what a joy to see my daughter to come alongside, you know, her pops and to minister. You know, that was a great joy of bathing her in prayer for 25 years. You know, never told her, never invited, wanted to be with the Lord. And you know, and then taking her to some of the maximum prisons, you know, and to minister. You know, it's a joy. You know, to me, it's to nurture my own child in the faith and to encourage her in the ministry. And I think that's so important when we disciple young people in the Lord and minister. And I've always shared with her in times that we have traveling, and I always share about the ministry. There are going to be difficult times in our lives as Christians, but we never lose sight of the things of God. And then second, he says, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Now, this is a thing, he says, Timothy. He says, the things that you've learned, heard from me, and the example that I've been, look for other people like-minded. To me, I leave that model even with my daughter, that she knows that her dad loves the Lord. And I think for people that I train up in ministry, I take people, I disciple people, I work with people, and nurture them up in the ministry. And this is important. He goes, let my life be an example. Let me ask you this question. Is your life an example to others? Can other model you as the example? Can other model you being the hero in their lives? How does your children portray you? How does your children look at you? Do they see you as a man of God? Do they see you as a woman of God? How do they see your projection as a Christian? You know, many of us, we walk in here and we're like, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But how are we at home? You know, here, to me, I think this is a very bold statement of Paul. He says, Timmy, thou hast heard from me among many witnesses his example. What is our example like? How is our example being displayed among other people in our lives? But this is a responsibility as mature and young people in the faith at times is to look at ourselves is like, what kind of example am I modeling to other people? Am I taking other people under my wing? And you know, many of us, every Sunday, we come on in, we sit almost at the same exact spot every Sunday. We shake hands with almost the same exact people because they're sitting in the same exact spots. But what about mixing it up a little bit? What about ministering to others and inviting? Sometimes, oh yeah, I bless so-and-so. But what about just going out beyond someone you don't know? Hey, would you like to go out for have some coffee? Would you like to fellowship a little bit? You know, sometimes we get in a rut in our lives, even as Christians, that we lose sight of ministering and mentoring those around us. And I think we have a great responsibility. As Paul looked at Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples. I want you to go out and encourage others. I want you to build others in the faith. And then the second thing, the second one is the soldier here. He says, thou therefore, endure in hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I kind of looked at that, enduring hardness. In other words, don't give up. You go through the battle as a soldier. You know, when a soldier is in the force, they're committed. They got a DI that's going to be their mom, pops, and everything else, and then some. But when you're in the service, you're not asking your sergeant, where we're going, sir. He ain't going to tell you, well, let me tell you why we have to go, sir. You know, you just take orders. If he tells you 0400 hours, you're there 0400 hours. You're ready to move out. You're ready to go. A soldier is enduring whatever, whether it's rain, cold, whatever it may be. He's going to endure to whatever the task is before. And as Christians, we got to endure in our Christian walk. There are times your world's going to be rocked. There are times you're going to face circumstances in your life. There will be times that your faith is going to be questioned at times. But nothing more is that you endure in these trials. See, sometimes we think, well, you know what? No one here likes trials, right? We surely don't like trials. But you know what? Trials is what perfects us. Trials is what builds the character in our lives. I'll tell you, the day when I accepted the Lord, and the reason, Pastor, I got saved in prison back in the 70s. And I got saved in prison, and mainly when my career ended, I blamed everybody, went to prison. And a crew from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, came out, and I used to come out and hear them speak. And it was during one of those services that I got saved. And now, I didn't wake up that morning and says, I'm going to get saved. Being a Christian was the furthest thing from my mind. And I remember someone says, you know, if you accept Jesus Christ, your world's going to be great. And all these things were going to happen. You're not going to have any more trials. You're not going to have problems. And people, you know, like I mentioned earlier, right, prayer. You know, have anybody ever that you know asked to pray for you? Okay, so many of us, people, can I pray for you? I was one of those guys when people said, can I pray with you? I said, no. You can pray for me, but don't pray with me. I just didn't like that whole people touchy stuff and put their hand on the shoulder and let's pray. And, you know, I wasn't into all that. I said, well, you can pray for me, my dog, or whatever you want to do. That's fine. Just don't pray for me. Didn't realize the power of prayer. Man, prayer, the more they prayed, the worse things got. Then I had to go back and tell people, stop praying. Don't pray no more. Well, I was just praying. I don't care. Just don't pray. I don't want you to pray. Stop it. Because the more they prayed, man, the more things were happening. I didn't understand all this stuff. And then the day that I accepted the Lord, check this out. Okay, I finally made a commitment. I'm going to accept the Lord. I walk up. I'm waiting for something to happen. I said the sinner's prayer. No lights went off. I didn't get any tingle sensations. I didn't flop all over the floor. I just looked at everybody else that were getting weird. And I said, what happened? Have I been that bad that God didn't even want me? And since someone came up and says, Mark, it's not by emotions or feelings. It's about the confession of your mouth and believing in your heart. I said, okay. And then I started having problems. Well, where's the blessings? Things got worse. I said, what's with this Christian stuff? I mean, everything started happening in my life. And I figured, man, they lied to me. But you know what? They've always were there. The problems. See, God removed the scales from my eyes and helped me to see that I had these issues. But he was also assured me that he was with me and carrying me through those storms. That I wasn't alone. That I'm going to get through those things. But see, this is where discipleship comes in. Man, I never read the Bible in my life. I didn't know what these chapters were, these verses were. I said, who wrote this stuff? Why didn't you just go by the page number? I just had no comprehension. The only thing I looked in the Bible was when I opened it, I seen Job, and I thought it said job. I said, well, it tells you how to get a job. That's good. But all the other stuff and names that I can't even pronounce, I said, I don't know about this stuff, you know? And then someone had to teach me how to read and what book and then the chapter and verses. I said, why is it so complicated? But didn't realize as I was being nurtured in the faith, was being trained and understood it and start to comprehend it. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That sometimes, you know, we feel like we're not adequate. I can't do this. I can't do the children's ministry. I can't go and work with youth. And I can't do this. And we're always, I can't. But God says, you can. He gives us the ability. He gives us the know-how. He gives us the idea. See, as a soldier enduring a hardness, one of the most important aspects is to die to yourself. And Luke chapter 9 tells us is that, you know, we need to deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow him. To pick up that cross is not easy. See, when we're here together, we can all praise the Lord, hallelujah. But then getting around people that are not Christians, how do we act? Do we act like we're Christians or do we kind of want to kind of fly under the radar? You know, what's interesting, I'm sure many of you have family members, right? I go to family members. I'm not even invited to our family gatherings anymore because I mess up their worlds. You know, it's like, and I don't tell them, you know, I don't go when they're drinking. Or I don't go to, you know, as soon as I hear, we're out of here. I don't say, hey, we're out of here. Christians are now leaving the house. No, I don't do that. You know, I just gradually, you know, we leave, but they know right away. But everybody gets weird. There's someone's going, I'm sorry, you know, and it's like, no offense to me. Or, oh, we can't drink. Mark's still here. You know, no, drink, act like an idiot. You know, whatever it may be, but the idea, I'm not, I don't want a damper. Then pretty soon you don't start getting invited because it's like, how long is he going to be here? You know, and so it's easier for them not to invite you no more. And so if you don't get invited to your family gathering, don't take offense. It's not you they have a problem with. It's who you represent. It's who you represent. You know, my wife always, you know, she likes to put the little, during Christmas time, put the manger out and all this. I said, why? Why put baby Jesus as a baby? He's not a baby no more. I said, people, oh, baby Jesus. Hey, he's a grown man. He convicts people of their sins. You know, yeah, people have a big problem. But the idea, because people want to seclude that. But this is the area that's so important is as a soldier, we must, you know, realize that we must die to ourselves. But the battle starts right up in here. Man, the enemy loves to manipulate your mind. He loves to get in there and tells you you can't do this and you can't do that. See, and over in 2 Corinthians tells us that casting down imagination and every high thing that, what, exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought, what, to the captivity of Christ. See, sometimes the enemy will love to wear you out. And, you know, before we had the cell phones and I would be driving, I'd be praying and talking to the Lord about what's going on. And you know, and all of a sudden people be looking at you and, it's you know, they look and you're like, oh, someone's watching me as I'm praying. And you're like... And then at that time, I act like I'm chewing gum. You know, it's like feeling embarrassed. Now we have hand-free phones, right? So it's like, okay, we can be talking, act like we're on the phone. Well, we are. We're talking to the Lord. You know, but it's the idea of our projection, our area. The battle, the enemy wants to put distracting thoughts. He's trying to lessen you as a soldier. See, and we look at ourselves as Christians, we are a soldier. We're in one of the biggest army man has ever known, and that's God's army. And you know what? We need to be prepared in battle. We need to know the tack of our enemies. We need to know the game plan. We need to be prepared for the battles that's out there. Because why? God wants us to suit up. He wants us to be ready. Why? Because he has us on a mission, and that is to evangelize and share our faith with others. Don't get weird and think, oh, I don't know, man. God's going to send me to some foreign country or something and have me hold signs out there. And, you know, God will not have you to do something you don't want done. You know, sometimes, and even if he did put you out there, he's going to prepare you. I was a mission pastor for 10 years. Let me tell you a story about that. As a mission pastor out there, you know what? First place I went, and this is right, well, this is before I was the mission pastor. I was invited by the U.S. to go to Russia, speak about organized crime in the prison systems of America. In 92, I was 12 years that I was supposed to be there on a different venue. And here 2 years, 12 years later, I go, and it's like, I'm excited. I'm going to Russia, and I'm going to be speaking about something that's passionate as well as to my heart. And so I'm in line at the U.S. Federal Building there in off of Wilshire, there in west side of L.A. And I'm standing in line thinking I have to get my passport immediately. And I'm thinking, and it dawned on me, I'm going to Russia. The country just opened up. And then it's like, what kind of food do they eat? Now, I didn't get this way just, you know, I mean, I had it built into this body. You know, so I had to watch what type of good calories I needed to eat, right? So check this out. So I get me the biggest suitcase that I could possibly get. What do? Filled it with cup of noodles, top ramen, beef jerky. I mean, all the stuff. And I remember, check this out. I was going through customs, and I brought tamales. In a gallon of salsa, not in glass, in a plastic container, but a gallon of salsa. And I remember getting through customs, and they were like, "Those any Russians in here?" Okay, no, it's just, there's some big Russians out there. I said, whoa, what do they feed you guys, you know? But the reality was, I get in there, and they opened everything up, says, what's wrong? You don't like our food? I said, never had it. These are safety issues, you know? And so I was just concerned that I wanted to make sure I eat, you know? And so anyways, I'm traveling with someone, and I hand them the salsa. Now, check this out. And I did say this in the first service. So I hand them the salsa, and I get through, and what did she do? She drops it. Now, mind you, we traveled all those hours, got it through custom. You're not going to spoil. I almost backslid that day. And, man, this could be like a movie. I run over there. I grab what was on that, hit the floor, that plastic container in that lid. I don't know how I did it. The Holy Ghost must have been with me. And I grabbed the lid, and I scooped it up. And saved, like, a lot of it. And it's like, wow. So now we get to our hotel. And we're like on this eighth floor or something. And I said, there's no refrigeration. I'm thinking, wow. And I realized, you're in Russia. There's nothing really going on here. I said, okay. So I asked one of the guys, one of the other pastors who was traveling with me. I said, hey, let me use your shoelaces. Why? I just need them. Let me use them. So he gives me shoelaces, and I tie up the tamales, and I put them out, hang them outside the window to act like my refrigeration. And he goes, what about my shoelaces? I said, well, you need to go and get some. And so anyways, I better get going. So anyways, it was a great story. I don't know. Let me get back to the teaching. I don't want to hold you guys over so much for lunch. So anyway, as endurance, sometimes we go to situations in our lives that we think that God's going to do something out of the norm. And let me tell you, like I said, I'm particular about food. And I've been to a lot of countries, South, Central America, Europe, and all that. And you know what? It's not as inhabited as there are some, but it's not as bad as it seems to be others, you know? But don't ruin it to God using your abilities. Trust the Lord. He will prepare you for ministry. Hey, he prepared me with cup of noodles and top ramens, man. You know, and found out I really didn't need it. But he prepares you. And then he says this. He says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. When it comes down to this, our desire is this, and that is to really please God with all of our heart and all of our lives. And that the simple fact is that you're not going to get caught up with all the madness of this world. When we become Christian, we make that transition to be men of God, women of God. You know, I used to follow the news. I used to stay up on top of all that, and it was depressing. And to me, I have our homes and everything. Man, we need to spend our time. Our time is getting up in the morning, praying, seeking the Lord, being his word. How you start your day is going to pretty much determine how you live out your day. And if you're frustrated, and there's some Christians just can't help it. They just don't talk. They're miserable. Have you seen a miserable Christian? You know, you want to see a real miserable Christian? Ask them to fast. Something with food, Christian, when they're fasting, they're like, I tell people all the time, you know, when they come in, they're like, they're all upset. And I'll say, hey, you want to get something? No, I'm fasting. All right, you know, and if you want to, you eat. It's all right, I'm going to eat. You're not going to be sensitive? No. You ask me to eat, I'm going to eat. You want a burger? No. You know, but some people are just like I said, you know, and they're like, man. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's go and get you a burger and make you a happy camper. Why? You're tempting me. No, you already ruined your fast, your attitude. So you might as well just eat and get happy, you know, and stuff. That's why they created Happy Meals. But have you seen Christians in the morning? Check this out. Have you seen Christians in the morning? They like, don't talk to me until I have my coffee. And I tell people, you said, you know what? Look, I'm like this all the time. Since I accepted the Lord, I'm like this. At home, I mean, to me, I enjoy my Christian walk. I really do. I have a lot of fun. You know, sometimes we're just wrapped a little too tight, people. We got to loosen up a little bit and relax. God has a plan for all of our lives. So people, and when they tell me, you know, I haven't had my coffee, I say, man, if coffee does that to you, you might as well get rid of it. Get that caffeine out of your life and get on to the Holy Ghost and let him do something for you. You know, because the reality of people is that we get so tied up into things. But don't get caught up with the things of this world. Yes, we live, we're pilgrims passing through here. But the simple fact is this, church, is that we need to be students of the word. I tell people, when you come to church, don't you leave the same way you came in. You know, you leave and you say, why don't we come in that way? We leave that way. No, I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about God challenging you, each and every one of you. We should be exhorted. We should be encouraged. We should be challenged, rebuked. But I believe every time if our heart is truly open and we're seeking the Lord, something's going to transpire in your life that you're going to be challenged some point. Some people say, I don't know. Those are the people, they're not coming with the intention of sitting before God's word and being heard. Their mind are distracted. See, God hasn't fully comprehended their lives or their hearts because they're distracted. You know who the people that are distracted? It's people that can't sit still. And you know how you hear those people? It's like this. You hear that? People that don't know what to do, they're getting tired or bored, so they pop a candy in their mouth to stay awake. Or, you know, or looking through, or they're putting their iPhones or phones on airplane mode and start, you know, playing their little games or whatever it may be. Because why? We're not here sitting like we should. Man, when I'm in church, I have my Bible, I have a clipboard to take notes, I have my water bottle, and I'm there to be what? Focus. I'm there to hear God's word. Man, people that's there sometimes, people will be nudging you, want to talk to you. And, you know, and I tell them, right, hey, look, don't ever do that again to me. When I'm in church to listen to the word of God. So my wife don't like that when I tell her. No, no, no. She's not here right now, so. So, no, but the reality is that, no, if you're sit with someone that just likes to talk to you, don't sit with them. You make sure that they're there, you know, they're there to listen to the word of God. They're there to be challenged by the word of God. And this is the thing that, man, if you're not in there, you're going to be entangled by the things of this world. The world's going to captivate your mind, and it's going to lure you out of the fellowship. And thirdly is the athlete. If a man also, in verse 5, strives lawfully, or strives for a mastery or an athlete, he is not yet crowned except that he strives lawfully. As an athlete, you know, one of those things when I used to wrestle, one of these is being disciplined. You didn't get to where you wanted to be if you weren't disciplined and you didn't, you know, practice. And to me, I practice every single day, even days weren't, and mornings, afternoons. I didn't have a normal kid's life. I lived myself. I lived in the gym, and I ran the beach in the mornings and what? Because I had to prepare myself physically to discipline myself. An athlete is disciplined. And I believe as a Christian, we have to be disciplined. If we're not disciplined to reading our word, we're not exercising our faith, we're not being an athlete. And I was really intrigued to the fact that Paul presents Timothy as an athlete, because an athlete is disciplined. And that's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be disciplined to the things of God, that he would use our gifts, our availability. And the only way to do this is to exercise your gifts. Many of them, and we come to church, and that's great, but we're not involved, some of us. We need to get involved. Exercise the gifts and the talents that God has given you. Man, you want to grow? You want to see yourself being used of the Lord? Ask Pastor John, what can I do? You'll be amazed of how much your life will be challenged, how much growth that will come about by you getting involved and sharing. And sometimes, I'm not qualified. Man, many of us are not qualified. Look at Paul. Paul talked about that. But you know what? God put him into the ministry, just as God's putting us into the ministry. God will make you qualified. God, you know, looks beyond our circumstances and our strength, but you've got to be prepared. You got to be ready. And the only way to do that is to exercise your gifts, your ability to be used of the Lord. Fourthly, and the last one, is the farmer. Now, a farmer, as a young kid, I used to look at it, man, they have the greatest job. No one is their boss. They can get up when they want to, go to sleep when they want to. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, and I got to realize a farmer is probably one of the, if not the hardest workers. They're up before anybody else. They're up even before the sun comes out. And they're gone. They're there until the sun goes down. I mean, if it's too cold, they're putting heat lamps. If it's too hot, they put in shade. And then preparing the ground, they just don't throw the seed. They tilt that ground. They prepare that ground and plant the seed. And a farmer is very patient. And that's the thing I want to look at, is patience. See, we are a very impatient type of people. We want it yesterday. And, you know, people's lives don't change overnight. My life didn't change overnight. And the one thing that I had to realize is this. It took a year for me to finally be what I need to be as a Christian. I had hang-ups. I had issues. And, you know, I had anger issues. I had violent issues. I had a lot of issues. And God started taking one at a time to work with me. The last one that he dealt with me was the smoking. And I remember that one time this young man came to me. Now, I'm short. Do you know what I noticed about this church? There's a lot of short people like me here. I like it, you know, and stuff. But no offense to, you know. But, yeah, I like the height area here. This is a good height church. But check this out. A person our size, a little shorter maybe, came up and was doing this number, poking. Now, you don't really go around poking people in the chest. And he quoted the scripture. This is the first time I got spiritual whipped. And he started poking me. He says, "You shall not defile the temple of God, which is holy in you." I'm looking at his fingers. He's poking me. I said, "Really?" And then he said, "This was the clincher. And you shall go to hell." Oh, the hell word. Wow. Now, I had a Bible. Looked just like this. I looked at him. I looked about 200 guys that were in the courtyard, like right out here, something like this out here. I looked, and everybody was like, "What are you going to do?" I got the Bible, and I threw it on the ground. And I grabbed him by the shirt, and I pulled him to me. And I said, "If I'm going to hell, I'm going to take you with me." And he started saying, "Don't get irregular." And I said, "I never heard that word in my entire life, irregular. What is irregular?" That's the first time I realized, you know, the bitterness of Christian judgment and all these different issues. You know, there's people that would criticize many of our walks. And maybe some of you have sons and daughters, or their mess ups and in and out of this or that. And, you know, and you're like fed up. Be patient. Don't throw in the towel. Look how long God waited for you and I. And yeah, your son, your daughter, you may not be proud, and you may be even embarrassed. Don't be. Some people say, "Well, how do I handle it?" Just look at it. They're working on their testimony. That's all. Don't freak out. Don't be embarrassed. You know what? They don't need to see you looking at them. You're embarrassed because they're your son or your daughters. You pray for them and continue to pray for them. You let them know that, hey, you're right there for them, waiting for them. And some of us, man, we're not, you know, some of us didn't maybe grow as fast as others. But I think as a farmer is very patient waiting for the fruit. Can you imagine a farmer? He's waiting for the sprout of that first seed to bloom. It may take weeks, but he's patient. And so I looked at the four characteristics that Paul presents as a son. We're sons and daughters of an almighty God who loves us and cares for us. As a soldier, we're in one of the biggest army, and we're in a battle. And, you know, we're at a time in our lives that we can't give up on this battle. Thirdly, as an athlete, we need to exercise our gifts, the gifts that God's given you. Some of you have been sitting on the gifts, and God's been speaking to you, and he's been telling you, get going. And you've been fighting, you've been wrestling with God. And God says, hey, stop it. I want to bless you. And fourthly, as a farmer, we need to be patient with people. We may not always understand, we may not always agree, but remember, we're not God either. And the thing is I remember years ago, or a few years ago, I was sitting in church, and I heard another pastor saying, God get them, for you can do a better job. Remember that? And I remember all that. You know, vengeance are mine, saith the Lord. You remember that passage? You know, and I always had a thing, well, Lord, bust them up Jesus style. You know, and that was my thing. Get him, Lord. And the thing is, for some reason that day, when that pastor made that comment, it dawned on me. What about G Mark? How many people prayed, Lord, get you? Hey, I wasn't always liked by people. Just like you, you're not always liked by people. Can you imagine God answering their prayers? I thank God that he didn't bust me up Jesus style. But you know what I find myself doing when I feel that about people? And one of the hardest things to do is says, Lord, be merciful to them as you have been to me. That's hard. But you want them, oh Lord, just get them. But Lord, be merciful to them. Because, you know, I'm sure there's been many people that have prayed, Lord, get Pastor Mark. Or Lord, get Mark, whatever it may be. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I've crossed some paths that didn't like me. But I thank God that he didn't answer them like that. And that's how we need to look and project of other things. And then in closing off this verse, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Consider what has been said here this morning. He'll give you understanding what you need to do as a person. You know, sometimes we need to just check ourselves. What am I doing? Am I doing all that God wants me to do, or are there things that I could be doing a little bit different? And if we do really an eval check on ourselves, we can probably say there's some things that I could really do. And maybe it's getting with one of the pastors. Hey, what can I do to get more involved? How can I take on some responsibilities? Pastor John, I just want to do something. Don't expect him right on the spot. Okay, well, do this. Give him some time to pray and think about it. You know, I think it's important when we allow ourselves to really look at, and that's why I called it the example of our faith, is that we are an example to be a son and a daughter, an example of being a good soldier, an example of being an athlete, to be disciplined in the word of God, and fourthly is to be patient for those around us, because not everybody can be like you. Maybe could. No. But you know what? We just need to be a good example in everything we do. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning and the privilege that you have given us, Lord. Lord, it's been a great time, a great fellowship to be with our brothers and our sisters. And I pray that you would minister to all of our hearts and all of our lives. Maybe this message this morning has challenged many of us in areas in our life that we need to reevaluate some things and look at some things and really being true and honest with our own selves and areas that we lack. And maybe being responsible for some things that we haven't been responsible for. And take the initiative to step out in faith and trust you, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you. And I just pray that you'll continue to bless this ministry here. And I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive. And if there's any of you here tonight, this morning, maybe just really evaluating. And if you need to get things right with God, just right where you are, you can just say, Lord, there's some areas I need to put myself in check in. And make those things, not just talk about it, but make the things happen. Asking the Lord and really being honest with your own heart. And telling him what things you have been slacking in. But also letting him know, too, what things you're going to correct in your life. Or maybe just telling him, Lord, these are some of the things I want to do. And start praying for it. So, Lord, I pray as we make that known to you, you would speak to us and minister to us. So have your rightful way with all of our hearts and all of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name.